The following is a presentation of CJPE 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county in Prince Edward County.
I'm Krista Hepburn. I have on the phone today with me Susan Warwick, Master Gardener, and you are listening to County Grows. Hi, Susan.
Oh, hi, Krista. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm also good.
Good. So today we've got an interesting topic. What are you going to talk about?
Well, today, as a follow-up to Gail Walker's talk on April 28th, I'm going to be talking about how to transform your garden into more native plant garden. And I would also just like to quickly mention to anyone who did not hear Gail's talk on April 28th to go to our website to listen to it. She gives a fantastic talk about why we need to be doing this. Well worth the listen. And
it
you just
is.
Go to PEC, mastergardeners.ca, and you'll be able to listen to her interview there.
So why do we want native plants in our...
Well, I'm just going to quickly say, as Gail has already said it, we want to protect the pollinators, the bees in particular. Without bees, we have no plants. Without plants, we have no life as we know it today. I saw in the news last night that many bee colonies have not even survived this winter, so there could be a drastic shortage of bees this spring. Mm-hmm. So it just stresses how urgent it is that we do as much as we can to help support them, even in our own little backyards. Every little bit helps. I am in the process of trying to add more native plants to my own garden, and looking at my garden, you know, I already have quite a few native plants, as most people probably do, including, you know, the purple coneflowers and the black-eyed Susans, bee balm, violets, and so on. But I also have many, many lovely non-native perennials, as I'm sure many of your listeners do as well, including hydrangeas and irises and peonies and hostas. I have so many hostas, and I'm not planning to rip those up. And I'm not suggesting that anyone get rid of any of these plants. But I do have some plants that could be replaced, and I do have some that just aren't looking so great, and the garden's ready for some new plants. And, of course, your garden's always really, you always have room for more plants if you're a gardener.
And the hostas grow really well.
They do. You can't kill them. The very first thing that I would do is look at your garden and try to get rid of any invasive plants as much as possible. You know, many of us still have goutweed and periwinkle, English ivy, and even burning bush. I actually have an ancient burning bush that came with our house, and I haven't gotten rid of it because the birds love it, and they sit in it, and they hide, and it seems to have a purpose for them. But one thing to remember is that these plants are often spread by the birds dispersing their seeds around your area. So if you live near a wooded area or a wetland, these plants could start showing up there. And once they take hold in a natural area, they quickly crowd out the natives, and they do not support the much-needed pollinating insects. So one thing I'm starting to do right now is I'm looking at my ground covers. I planted some non-native creeping Jenny and sweet woodruff a few years ago as a ground cover, and they've, of course, spread like crazy. So I'm in the process now of digging them up, and I'll probably use some of the creeping Jenny and some hanging baskets. There's so many wonderful native ground covers, but I am going to try these three, and I'm going to suggest these three. Wild ginger, Canada Mayflower, and foam flower. They all grow well in shade, they do well under trees, and they also act as great weed suppressors. The wild ginger, it's a classic ground cover for a shade garden. It has beautiful, lush, heart-shaped leaves. People are probably familiar with it because you see quite a bit of it. It spreads by rhizomes, which are horizontal, fleshy stems that grow underground, and they produce roots below, and the new shoots come up on the top. And the Canada Mayflower, it has white flowers in the spring, and they get red berries in the fall, which is really attractive. It's non-aggressive, it's low-growing, and it creates this beautiful, lovely, lush carpet. And if you have Lily of the Valley, Canada Mayflower will make a great replacement for your Lily of the Valley, which is very invasive. And, of course, foam flower has beautiful heart-shaped leaves and beautiful cream-colored spiky flowers, and it is a great weed-suppressing carpet.
So you would typically plant these in the spring?
Yes, you should plant them in the spring. Yes, I mean, like spring. I usually don't start planting things until the end of May and the beginning of June, just because of frost, and we have had such a kind of crazy spring. I always play it safe, but But you could. I mean, it's up to each individual when they feel it's safe to plant it in their garden. But that's what I usually do.
So once you plant them, will you have a nice lush ground cover this year, or will it take a while?
No, I think it'll take another year. Like you will have, it'll spread a little bit this year. But next year, when everything pops up in the spring, you'll see much more. And of course, by the third year, it'll be really spreading and covering so much more. Now, I noticed that Gail had mentioned a book called Grow Me Instead, which is available to download from the Ontario Invasive Plant Council. And I'm also going to strongly suggest checking out this booklet if you're serious about identifying and replacing any invasives in your garden. It's a really great little booklet and gives you lots of good ideas about how to go about that.
So what should I plant?
Well, there's so many flowers and shrubs to choose from. One thing I would consider, which we do anyway, is to plant native flowers that will give you continuous blooms from spring right through to fall. It's the best way to provide a continuous supply of nectar for the bees or insects. Now, since flowers are a personal choice, and there's so many to choose from, I'm going to recommend a book by Lorraine Johnson. Now, this book is called 100 Keyword Easy to Grow Native Plants. This is a great book with descriptions and info that will help you choose what would work best in your garden. So some of the things that you must think about before choosing plants is the amount of sun and shade you have in your garden, and make sure that you pick the right plants for the amount of sun available. And also consider flowering time. Do they flower in the spring? Do they flower in the summer or fall? And if you're only going to plant three plants, pick one that flowers in the spring, one that flowers in the summer, and one that flowers in the fall. And that way you'll have continuous flowering. Also, other things to consider are the height. Like, how high do you want it to go? If you're going to have it sitting next to a hydrangea, do you want it to be as high as the hydrangea? Probably not. You probably want a lower flower. So you think about the height, the color, the leaf texture, and what would look nice in your garden amongst your other plants. Some of the things I'm planning to plant this year are Joe Pieweed, New Jersey Tea, and False Sunflower. Now, False Sunflower is kind of aggressive. I'm going to put it in a corner by the fence so that it has support, and it's going to fill in that space. It's really important to familiarize yourself with how a plant grows to make sure it's the right plant for your garden. Because I'm obsessed with birds, I usually try to pick shrubs that produce berries to feed the birds. So I'd recommend, I think for myself, elderberry. It's a lovely shrub with berries that birds love. The nannyberry, which is Viburnum lentigo. Now, the Viburnum family has got many types of little bushes, nannyberry being one of my favorites, but anything in the Viburnum family is good. And red osier dogwood. Any dogwood is great, but this red osier dogwood is also lovely for birds. So there's so many others. I planted a black chokecherry and fragrant sumacs last year. And both of them produce flowers in the early spring, and they attract bees and so on. And then they have berries. Now, birds love the berries on my chokecherry. Once the berries come out, which is probably in another week or so, within about 2 days, the berries are completely gone. Go crazy eating them.
Don't need a bird feeder if you got shrubs.
No, you don't. Yeah. And bird feeders can be messy, and of course, you do get squirrels hanging around.
And what about trees?
Well, yes, you can never have enough trees. It's probably one of the best ways to help fight climate change. And they give refuge to birds and other small critters, and they add, of course, beauty to your property. My house came with a mature maple, two mature birches, a huge blue spruce, and a large cedar that actually belongs to our neighbor, but it hangs over our deck and provides beautiful shade and privacy, and it is literally a haven for birds. It surrounds us in the summer and keeps things fairly cool on a hot summer day. So you cannot go wrong to have trees, as many as possible, on your property. I've also planted cedars, and I've planted chokecherry, serviceberry, and I planted a ginkgo. Now, I know ginkgos are not native, but I just happen to really love that tree. So you do have some flexibility.
Right.
So if you have the room, though, I strongly suggest that you plant an oak tree. These majestic trees provide food and shelter to so many species, and particularly to many, many types of caterpillars that are needed by birds to feed their young. If you have a huge property, which many of our listeners probably do, and you have the space, you could also think about planting a grove of trees, so that, like, maybe three or four trees together, so that they grow together and their roots will interlock as they would in a forest setting. And if you have a really large property and are interested in a group planting of trees, I strongly suggest that our listeners read online about Little Forests Kingston. Now, this talks about how to create a mini forest with a variety of tree species. Just go and Google Little Forest Kingston, and it will take you to the Rideau Thousand Islands Master Gardener page. It's a very interesting and inspiring read. So anyone who has the space and the time and wants to do something like this, this is a very, very great project to take on. And if you don't have space, as I don't anymore, there's so many smaller trees that are lovely, including serviceberry, the eastern redbud, eastern flowering dogwoods. Any of the dogwoods are just beautiful.
And what to do about your lawn?
One thing that's always mentioned when you're trying to make your garden more biodiverse is your lawn. Mm. As you know, there's a movement to get rid of as much lawn as possible. Lawns do absolutely nothing to support the environment, and they actually use up precious resources like gas and water. Basically, they're just a dead zone when it comes to biodiversity. But getting rid of your lawn is not so simple. Mm. And I still have some lawn, as I'm sure you do and everybody does. And I don't want to get rid of all of it. I would like to keep some of it. And this year, I decided to try something a little bit different. Instead of reseeding the bare patches where my puppy has dug up holes, I'm going to try planting clover seed, or basically it's a Dutch white clover. White clover, and we probably, a lot of people already have some clover in their gardens now, but it's drought tolerant, it tolerates getting mowed, and the most important thing is it attracts beneficial insects, including pollinating bees, but also, particularly important, it attracts parasitic wasps. Now, these wasps feed on the unwanted insects, aphids, scale, and whiteflies. Now, these wasps are small and they're harmless, so there's no worries about being stung. Mm. But you'll have lots of parasitic wasps if you have clover in your lawn. So this is a good thing.
Yeah.
And also, it never needs to be fertilized because the clover will add nitrogen to the soil, and this actually helps the grass. And clover is very good at out-competing weeds. Good thing for your garden. So I'm not 100% sure about this yet, but I'm going to give it a try in one area where the dog has made a complete mess, and I'll see what happens. For those of you with the massive lawns that actually need a ride-on lawnmower, you can consider transforming some of it to maybe a meadow garden. Now, this is a process that involves commitment because it takes 2 or 3 years to really see the results, but it is so worth it. And once established, the wildflowers will continue to reseed themselves, and there's really very little maintenance involved. So I thought I would try this year. I have a piece of lawn between our front fence and the sidewalk, and I'm planning to create a small meadowscape in this area. But first, I need to get rid of the grass. So I can either dig it up, or I can virtually kill it along with the weeds and the weed seeds and all the bad stuff lurking below by covering it with cardboard, then a thick layer of mulch, and just letting it do its thing for about a month, maybe even 6 weeks, in the hopes that this is going to kill the grass, kill the weeds, and I will then be able to plant there and not have to worry about weeds popping up. Mm-hmm. And there's another technique. It's called solarizing, which I'm not really going to spend much time talking about today because that's a whole topic unto itself. But this technique virtually bakes everything in the soil. It involves covering the soil with plastic that needs to be secured down and held tight. And the soil should be damp and as flat as possible with no debris. And of course, you need sun. So I'm thinking about, I might try this technique on my little patch of grass out front. So I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah.
I've never done this before. So I'm going to follow the instructions and hope for the best. So
We'll have to have a follow-up with you and see all your experiments.
Yeah, have a follow-up in the fall.
Yes.
To see if I have weeds popping up or not.
Right.
Anyway, I'm hoping to create just a little, this area is probably about 5 feet by 20 feet, so it's a little horizontal patch. I'm going to plant a redbud tree, and I'm going to create a little grouping of native wildflowers. I also have been saving a bunch of quartz rocks and driftwood, which I'm going to throw in there as well, so we'll see how this turns out. I've been planning to do this for so long, I thought, this is the year. I'm going to get this done. I'll send you pictures.
Okay, thank you.
But I'm just Also, one other thing, if you need any info on how to create a meadow, there's lots of great information which I discovered on the Rideau Thousand Islands Master Gardener site. They have a whole section on meadowscaping, and I strongly suggest you read this before any attempt to create a meadow. It's really, really has so much information.
Can you just give us the names, two books?
Well, the first one was Grow Me Instead, and it's just a little booklet. And we used to have the booklet that we gave out to people, but we don't have it anymore. It's only available to download from the Ontario Invasive Plant Council. So if you just go and Google Grow Me Instead, the link will come up, and you can just download the little booklet, and it gives you all the information about invasive plants, what plants can replace them. And the second one, this book is called 100 Easy to Grow Native Plants. And it's by Lorraine Johnson. And she has great pictures and descriptions about all the plants, how they grow, where they should be planted. So a highly recommended book if you're going to start trying to figure out which native plants you should be using in your garden. One other thing I would like to just quickly say is that Master Gardeners, we're having our annual plant sale on Saturday, May 28th, and it will be in the Metro parking lot from 8 a.m. to 12 noon. And we will have many native plants for sale at this time. Get there early because things usually go quite quickly.
And people bring cash or?
Cash only.
Well, thank you, Susan, for speaking with me today. Lots of good information.
Any questions about, of course, native plants, meadow gardens, and so on, you can go to our website and there's a link to ask a question. You can email us at peckmastergardeners@gmail.com if you have any questions. We would be very happy to answer.
You've been listening to County Grow on 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.
This has been a presentation of CJPE, 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county in Prince Edward County.